The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Are you grateful for what God has done in Christ Jesus for us? The privilege to see Him and to know Him as He is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and just pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord.
He's the Lord.
Come on.
Amen. He has risen from the dead. He's the Lord.
Say hallelujah.
Every knee shall bow.
But for today we know. For now, thank you because we know even now that you are Lord. And we yield this meeting and the rest of this meeting to you. As Lord, do what you want to do. Interrupt it when you want to. Do what you want to do. We yield the meeting and everything that will happen to you. Thank you, Lord, because we know we will see the mighty move of your power, the mighty move of your presence, even in this place, to your glory, to the end that you are glorified and we are edified. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You want to shout loud, louder, amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Good evening, everyone. How are we doing? So welcome your neighbor warmly this evening before you have your seat. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful day. Another day to be blessed. Hallelujah. I have the life of God in me. Is that making more sense now? We have the life of God. You know, there are certain concepts you find in the Bible that if you are not careful, you will just gloss over them and assume you understand them. You might even be very happy and excited. But sometimes when you begin to look at them, you will not know the depth of it. The depth of it. The depth, what it means for us. So, you know, it's something that we've been studying, we'll keep studying. And trust me, any other time that God allows us or asks us to come back to this teaching, we will yet open it up. And you will find out that we've not even exhausted anything. Are you getting the point? We've not even exhausted anything. There is still a lot. That the more you unwrap it, the more you find new things. New things. That's why the Bible will forever be the Bible. There will never be an upgraded version of the Bible. It is the same words. There could be different translations, but it must be the same word. But the thing is that every time you read it, sometimes the same chapter, the same passage, you are changed. Are you following me? You are blessed, you are transformed, and then you find out that, man, you've never read this before. You know, sometimes, some of us have read the Bible cover to cover. I have. Who has? Let me see your hand. At any time, even once. Raise your hand. Okay. Yes. And we gave a manual for that a few years ago, right? So many of you stopped halfway. Which month did you stop? February. I have a manual for that. It took us a lot to develop that manual. Something that could help you read the whole Bible. And the way we developed that manual, if you have used it, all the scriptures you are reading on the same day are connected. Yes, that's how I developed that. So it took a whole December for me to develop that manner. So if you are not using it, it's not if you do you. Amen. So maybe we should make it available again. Right? Will you now use it? You will try. But I was saying, if you've read the Bible cover to cover, you will realize that, you know, even though you've read everything, there are still some verses you will come across after 2 months. And you're wondering, have I ever seen this in the Bible? The Bible is like that. The thing is, you saw it all. In fact, sometimes when you read it, it even blessed you. You even took notes from it. But then you read it again and you're wondering, I've never seen this in my life before. And that's the beauty of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So we are teaching on the God life. And we'll teach on this till the end of this meeting. Amen. Amen. And like I'm saying, any other time we have to teach on it, we'll come back to it. And it will still be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So yesterday we began, of course, we're on our subject of, we've narrowed in on life and immortality. And we are looking at long life. Remember? We're looking at the fact that, you know, God, the life of God in us, can also preserve our mortal bodies and cause us to live long. I say it again. The life of God in us can also preserve our mortal bodies, because we've seen by the reason of our study that that life of God obviously can have effect on the mortal body. Seeing that even after we have died and after many years have gone, that life of God can still act on decayed bones and cause them to come alive again. And that will happen when our Lord will return. Are you following me? So if that life has that capacity then, it still has that capacity now. So it can fix your mortal body. It can give you long life. It can preserve your life. It can protect you. Amen. I will begin to see how possible that is. Yes, they will begin to see that the plan of God is that we should live long lives. In fact, we saw yesterday that death was not even part of God's plan. God never created this world hoping that one day people will die. Are you getting the point?
And I was reading an article recently, and the person was trying to explain why people lived very long in the book of Genesis, and then their age began to drop. I was trying to explain it, you know, he's a believer, trying to explain it with science. I was trying to say, man was created perfect. So all his genes and whatever were perfect. Get the point? The genetic composition was perfect. So he said the reason why man found it difficult to die from those days was because, I mean, some diseases couldn't access his body at that time because he was perfect. You know, it's because of some of this breakdown, the law of sin and death. So you find out that the human body is breaking down. So sometimes what he could have survived 5 years ago, he can no longer survive it now. But you know, when God created the world, everything was perfect. So man lived that long. Seeing that even after man fell, it still took time before man could learn how to die. And that's very serious. It still took time before he could learn how to die. See, it took time for man to know that, okay, people used to die. He didn't know. And that's why you see long life. That's always been the will of God. That is still the will of God for us today. Are you following me? Come on, are you in church this evening? So God does not will physical death, or has never willed physical death for anybody. But then after man fell, it became necessary that man was going to die because of this flesh. Right? However, we are seeing that death is not supposed to come upon you suddenly. God wants you to be the one to decide when you die. We saw that yesterday. We're going to look at that again today. God wants you to be the one to decide how long you're going to stay. So in Psalm 91 verse 16, that anchor scripture yesterday, it tells us, it said, with long life shall I satisfy him. And we're looking at the word satisfy. With long life will I. So God wants you to live to a point where you are satisfied, where you are full of life, where you can say, okay, I've lived to a point, I'm okay, I now want to die. And we saw in the Bible that a couple of Christians in the Bible came to that point. We saw that concerning Paul. Paul said he was now ready to be offered. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you read from verse 5. He said he's ready to be offered, to be poured as a drink offering. Give me that verse. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, he told him, do the work of an evangelist. Verse 6. Quickly. For I am now ready to be offered. Right? He said, I am now ready. So we say Paul died by martyrdom. Quite all right. But he got to a point where he was ready. So he was satisfied. You know, I was reading something yesterday. You know, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you will see Paul give an account of many things he passed through in ministry. How many of you know that account? 2 Corinthians 12, let's look at it, because it will form a very good foundation for our study today. Is it chapter 12? Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, it's not chapter 12. Amen. Where Paul was talking about how he was beaten. Chapter, what is that? Chapter 11, yes. So, Christ, chapter 11. Because of our time, let's use New Living Translation. And let's start from verse 23. So, you see Paul talk about what he suffered for Christ. And yet, all of this he suffered could not kill him. That's what I'm saying. He couldn't kill him until he got to the point where he said he wanted to die. He said, at the servants of Christ, he said, now I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. He said, I have faced death. How many times? Again and again. Yet he didn't die. Are you following me? 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. So Paul has been stoned. We saw that in the book of Acts, right? He was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. So Paul was even attacked by robbers. Are you following what I'm saying, friends? So when you see that these guys lived long and they go to them, they said, I want to die now. It's not like they didn't have things that could have killed them. Just that when those things were coming, they refused to die. They understood that by the eternal life that they carry inside of them, they can resist death. He said, I face dangers from rivers and from robbers. I face danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I face dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I face dangers from men who claim to be believers, but are not. Right? I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep me warm. This is a man. So, in other words, he's telling you, anything that could have taken anybody's life, I've passed through it. Are you guys following me this evening at all? So, when we look at the apostles living such full lives, it's not because they didn't have any challenges. It's just because they understood what we don't know. So, in other words, it is not the things that you go through that will take your life. Are you guys following me this evening? Next verse, verse 28. He said, then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern. So you say, was he carrying the burden of ministry? The emotional demands and everything that ministry brings. So whatever you could think of was happening to Paul. But yet, he stayed alive. And I'm saying to you, no matter what is happening, if you want to stay alive, you will be alive. Are you following me this evening? You will be alive. And so you know this. The men of old lived till they were satisfied. Jacob got worse than 30 years and told Pharaoh that he had lived a very short life. In other words, at 130, he still felt his life was short. So he didn't die at that time. He still stayed longer because he felt his life was short at that point. And so you notice, the point you are making is, because of the life of God that is at work in us, we have power even over death. You know, there was a place the Bible said, that place where people don't like, you know some preachers like quoting that verse that says, all things are yours. You know that place? What are things that are yours in that place? 1 Corinthians 3:21. Put it up. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, let no man glory men, for how many things are yours? Talk to me. How many things? How many things are yours? Use volume 10. How many things are yours? Do you like that? The one that is that are yours. Continue. Next verse. Whether Paul or Apollos. She's talking about the ministers or Cephas. They say they're yours. We love that. Or the world. Or life. Or? Wow. Do you like that one? So, what does it mean by death is yours? Because nobody can, all things are mine. He said even death belongs to you. Give me Amplified Classic. All things are yours. Life or death belong to you. Let's leave that. Just think about it. Maybe I'll answer it tomorrow. Do you want to study that? Do you want to study it? So just take it. Remind me tomorrow, I'll explain it. But you say death belongs to you. How is death your own? What are you doing with death? You don't like that one now? Study it. You may like it when you are done. Praise God. Well, let's continue. So you notice, God wants us to be in charge of life and death. So, with long life, will I satisfy you and give you my salvation? So I left yesterday by letting you see that you should think about these things. Think about these possibilities. Think about the fact that it is possible that man can live that long. Think about it. That a man can go through all the trials on earth and yet be alive. Like Paul, suffer many things and still be alive and well. And still be alive and well. Pass through all the challenges and still be alive and well. It's possible. And that's my life. Glory to God. So we corrected a few misconceptions yesterday. All these things of that God has added that man will not live more than 70 or 80 years. We saw that's not correct. Even the 120 mark that they put is still not correct. God never said any of those things. Because the man who said that, who people said that he said, right, that the benchmark God has given is 70 or 80 years. That was Moses. He himself lived 120 years. Aaron, his brother, lived 123 years. Joshua, his successor, lived 110 years. So the Bible never said that man will live 70 or 80 years. What is the Bible saying? The Bible says that it's your choice. Because this verse is heavy. Will long life will I satisfy? So whenever you feel your own satisfaction has come, then it's fine. Are you following me? Today I'm going to teach you a few things, you know. I pray we'll get there. How you can choose life for yourself. Amen. But we'll get there. So why should we believe and contend for? Why should a believer contend for long life? Why should a believer contend to live long? Why are we even talking about long? Why are we discussing living long? Because a lot of people don't even know why they should live long. Just that people are just afraid of dying. So you ask, you don't want to die now. You say, I don't want to die now. So what do you want to be doing on earth? I just want to be alive. So why do you want to be alive? Why will you want to live long? Reason number one is very simple. Because it is God's will for me. And that should be reason enough. Because God wills it for me, I will it for myself. And I don't need to show you scriptures, but I've shown that a lot yesterday. There are many scriptures that we've given to prove that it is God's will for us to live long. Long, full lives. Are you following me? So, see, it's God's will. So, it is not God's will that you live a few years. We saw that Isaiah yesterday, where the Bible says that the days are coming, and these are the days you are living in, right? That when someone dies at 100, we will say he died early. You know, you would have never thought that that kind of thing is in the Bible. But it's there. That's Isaiah 65, I guess verse 24. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Not 24, verse 20, yes. He said, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. Give me like New Living Translation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No longer will babies die when they are only a few days old. Shout a big amen right there. Amen. Not in this ministry will babies die when they are a few days old. Or a few months old. Or a few years old. Are you getting the point? No burial of babies or children is allowed in this ministry. None. Shout a big amen again. Because your kids are implicated in this declaration. No barrier. There will be no room for that. Our kids will not be victims of accidents, kidnap, whatever child killing disease. Because that's what the Lord has said. There is safety in their borders. No longer will babies die when they are only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old. At 100. In other words, when you hit 100, they will still say, oh, atutu boyoyo, young man. Glory to God. And I strongly believe this is possible. So what do you mean, 100 young man? Yes. But at 100, they could still be walking around. We saw how Moses died yesterday. At 120, he still walked up a mountain. A very high mountain. And the Lord showed him things. And he died up there. So he was still strong enough to climb a mountain at that age. That is long, full lives. Are you following me, friend? So because long life is God's will, it is one reason why I will contend for it. I've taught you many times here. If something is God's will, I'm going to have it. Anything short of the will of God for my life is a reduction. Are you following me, friends? Anything short of the will of God for my life is a reduction. So once I've found that something is God's will for my life, I'm going to fight for it because God wants it for me. So if I have anything, even people are saying it's okay, but it's not what God wants for me, then I've not yet fulfilled what I want. So I always declare these things. I say, if it is not God's will, it's not good enough for me. You've heard me say that many times. If it is not God's will, it's not good enough for me. So I won't manage it. I won't say, oh, well, that's not what God wants, but if he manage. If it is not God's will, it's not good enough for me. I get it, but a long life is God's will. Anything short of that is not good enough for me. A long, healthy life is God's will. Anything short of that is not good enough for me. And I'm going to have what God wants for me. I think you'll be talking. I think I'm going to have what God will have, what God wants for me. I will have what God wants for me. I will have what God wants for me. If it is God's will, then I will have it. Shall we say, if it is God's will, then I will have it. If it is not God's will, it is not good enough for me. So I will not have it. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Have your seat. It's important that you're talking like this because I've taught you here that the fact that something is God's will does not mean that it will automatically come to you. Do you remember that? In other words, something can be God's will and it will still not happen. You know, I've taught you that. And it's best repeating. People normally say, well, what is the God's will? It will happen. That's an erroneous thought pattern. Just like people say things like, everything happening on earth is how God wants it. And that's one terrible thing that people do. And I've taught you many, many times, when you go to where someone has lost a loved one, don't go down before me, philosopher. Don't say, we don't know why it happened, but we know this is how God wants it. Stop lying. That's not how God wants it. Are you following me? Roman can always share with us how he came to where a woman had just lost her only child. Only a widow lost her only child. And people are coming around to tell her, that's how God wants it. That's how God wants it. And he got there and said, well, ma'am, I don't know why your child had to die. And I'm really very sorry. You know, accept our sympathy. The only thing I know is, I don't know why he did that. But I know it's not God's will. I may not have all the answers to give you now. But because how can you say, so what is God doing with her child? Does God eat dead bodies? Say God needs him in heaven. The mother needs him on earth. Because that idea of anything that happens on earth is God's will. You know what he's going to do to you? You will just settle for whatever life gives you. And you explain it away as God's will. You must realize that something can be God's will and it will not happen. Yes. Yes. So, Uche Chukwu Gemedidi is not correct. Yes. God's will must happen. It's not correct. A perfect example of this I always give is the issue of salvation. Salvation is God's will for all mankind. Yet, some people will not be saved because they will reject salvation. And God will not force it on them. That already has set a pattern to show you that God can will a thing and it will not happen. I get to the point. Ask God his plan for every unbeliever you see out there. He wants the person saved. But is he going to force it on the person? No. He will convince the person. He will talk to the person. But he wants that person to come to a point where he makes a move to adjust to the convictions of God. And that's the same thing about everything. So God has willed long life for you. You now have to contend for that long life. Knowing that this is God's will, now it's, I must have it. But somebody's asking me now, if you say God wants long life for everybody, how come some people are dying untimely? Many people more will see die untimely. And that will not change the fact that it is God's will. Like I said, if you die untimely as a believer, God will welcome you in heaven. Because he's losing nothing. You know, right? You're the one losing. I will see how you're going to lose. You'll see how you lose very soon. Long life is God's will for you. But it's not automatic. You've got to hold on and contend and fight and say, since God wants this for me, anything short of what God wants for me, I will not take it. And apart from long life, I want you to carry that mindset. When you go to the Word of God, study it, find what God wants and say, well, I'm not going to have anything that is not this. Are you following me? You know, people can fight to prosper. Because they are just covetous, or because they just want to use it to intimidate people. That's the wrong reason. But there's a reason me I want to prosper. I've gone to the Bible. I've seen that prosperity is the will of God. I've seen it everywhere. Anything short of that is not good enough for me. That's how I think. That's how I think. Are you following me? That's how I think. Good health is God's will for me. So I'm not just contending for good health because I want to be healthy. It is first of all because that's what God wants for me. How can I not have what God wants me to have? Are you getting the point? How can I not have what God not only wants me to have, but has made every plan for me to have? Then I must insist and have it. That's why if you are planning to settle for less in life, let this change your mindset. If it is not up to what God wants for you, it is not good enough. It's not good enough. And that's why I contend for long life. Not just because I want to brag that I live for 2 million years or 3 million, because I've seen that it is God's will in His word for me to live that long. With long life, shall I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation? So you shall live long, full lives. Job lived a long, full life. We saw that yesterday, right? That so much so that even after he lost all his children, he gave birth to the children again. He still lived long enough to see his children, children, up to the fourth generation. That's a long, full life. That even though he began to give birth again at an old age, after he has lost everybody, he still lived long enough to see their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. That is long life. That's God's way for me. Are you getting the point? The only apostle, for instance, that didn't die by martyrdom was the apostle John. Are you still here? You know, right? Now, why didn't he die by martyrdom? Do you have an answer? Huh? Answer me. You don't know. You know now. He didn't want to die like that. That's what I'm trying to make. It was his choice. And I'm going to show you why as we progress a little more. So how old was Apostle John before he died? We don't know. But we know he lived a very long life. How do you know? By the time you read 2 John chapter 1 verse 1, if you see how he introduced himself, you will know he lived long. 2 John 1 verse 1, he called himself the elder. Give me a living translation. You live in translation. He said, this letter is from John the elder, the old man. 3 John verse 1, this letter is from John the elder. He lived really long. He lived really long. Yes. Say, so why are we not giving their dates when they died in the New Testament? Because the New Testament is not about history. It's about revelation of Christ. He just went straight to the point. Old Testament is like that too. But then you see more history. Then New Testament, they just... I guess that's why you not see many stories in the New Testament. Actually, you won't. Have you observed? You won't. That's why I've heard people say things like, that God, the apostles have money. If they had money, if they were rich, why didn't the New Testament talk about it? That is only Old Testament people that had money. Let me tell you, there is no space for that. It's just when you read in between the lines, you'll find out that these guys are living good lives. How do you know? Somebody cannot come out and be traveling around the world doing ministry without having money. Are you getting the point? Today, there was no plane, but think of now. They can be flying from Nigeria to Ghana to Australia to Spain to Denmark, everywhere. Paul covered the whole Asian continent. That's not an empty pocket. And he wasn't trekking. He was using ship, boats, the means of transportation of his day. So at least he had enough to move around. Are you guys following me at all? So when you check the Bible and see God's will, fight for it and own it. Long life is God's will. I will have it because it's God's will. So that's reason number one. Second is why I believe a believer should fight for long life is because you need to stay long enough. And this one is the most important. You need to stay long enough to fulfill your God-ordained assignment. Now, This is the major reason God gives long life. For instance, if you check the book of Genesis, God wanted them to live long, in fact, to live forever. Why? He told them to dress and keep the garden. If you were in this church last year, I explained that dress and keep. There are two Hebrew words I gave you, Abad and Shama. Do you remember that? That dress and keep, it's not just, God didn't make Adam a farmer. That's how it looks like in the English Bible. But when you check the original Hebrew, you find out that's not what it's saying. That talks about worship. So he wanted man to serve him and to worship him and to walk with him. That's why he kept him in the garden. And that's why he wanted him to live that long. Until today, the reason God is willing long life for you is so that you can have time to serve him properly. Yes. And I will show you in the Bible, Philippians 1:21. We saw this yesterday. Philippians 1 verse 21, that place where Paul was negotiating and thinking of dying. He said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "But if I live in the flesh," in fact, give me an NLT, because I want you to see this clearly. So you see why Paul wanted to live long. He said, "If I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ." So I really don't know what to say. So why did Paul want to live? Because if he lives, he will do more work for Christ. See the next verse. He said, "I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and to be with Christ, which will be far better for me." Okay? "But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live." So he's saying, because of the work I will do among you, it is better. So why is long life better? So that you can work for the Lord. And so the way you are saying, "I want to live long," you have to answer, why do you want to live long? Why? Because this one, if we live, you're not even doing anything for God. I say you want more. So what do you want to do? The reason God wants us to stay long here is because the work is enormous. The work is big. Let me say this to you. Let me tell you this. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Now let me say, it takes time to train a solid Christian. Are you aware? It takes time to train a solid Christian and a solid minister. Which is why God is not in the business of training men and letting them die. Because it takes time to train one. And that's why God wants believers that are strong to live long, to do the work. Are you getting the point? Now, so that's why you hear me pray. So that I pray for the preservation of missionaries all over the world, people who are giving their lives for missions in countries like all these Islamic countries and all of that. You say, why are you praying that God will preserve them? When they die for the Lord, it is gain. Mm-mm. Their being alive is more gain. It takes time to train someone to convince a person to send him to Morocco or to Niger, to a place that when you get to do ministry, you say, "Jesus," they cut off your head. And they are dead. It takes time to raise such people. And so it is better that they stay long. Are you following me, friends? If you know you want to do ministry, contend for long life. Because we need to be long, to live here long enough to do all that God wants us to do. Are you following me now? Now go back to that Philippians 1 verse 24. He was contending. He said, "But for your sakes, it is better." Are you getting me? Now see the next verse. It's better I continue. He said, "Knowing this." Knowing what? Knowing that it is better that he keeps living for the sake of ministry, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I can help, continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. So the sole reason Paul wanted to stay long was ministry. So the first question is, why do you want to live long? Because people don't even know why. "I just want to be alive. I don't want to die. I don't want to die." Why don't you want to die? Who wants to die? "I don't want to die." Why don't you want to die? "I don't want to die." Why? Why don't you want to die? It's all kind of question. Is that who likes death? I know you don't like it. But why do you want to stay alive? There should be a stronger motivation than the fear of death. Because many people just want to be alive because they're afraid of dying. Are you following the point? They're afraid of dying. They're afraid of who will eat all their money when they die. They're afraid that when they die, their next of kin will not pity for their money. They're afraid that when they die, who will take care of my children? There should be, that one day, we're coming to that shortly, but there should be a stronger motivation. So Paul said he wants to die, so he wants to live longer. He didn't mention, because he didn't mention his assets. Are you following me? He didn't mention, if I die now, they will not come and chop all my money. He said, because I know I want to help your faith. That's why I want to stay. Are you following me? So I want to ask you, now, you are alive now. Is there anything you are doing for the Lord that you can say, because of this thing I'm doing for the Lord, I want to stay longer? Do you have any vision for ministry? Is there anything like, I want to win 1,000 souls before I'm gone? I want to win 5,000 souls. So you can begin to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not done. I still have 4,620 souls to be won. So I'm going to stay. You know that's the card that Hezekiah played. Do you remember? In Isaiah 38, when Isaiah told him that he was going to die, he went to the Lord and told the Lord, I have done so much for you. I still have many more to do. And God said, tell him he's living long. So what are you doing? Are you guys following what I'm saying now? I told you I'm still come to this tomorrow. Because tomorrow I want to focus on this a little. Sometimes what preserves people's life is the assignment. Yes. Because of that thing they're doing for the Lord. Even God doesn't want them to go. Because I told you, to raise a Christian is hard. That's why one of the most painful things that can happen to anybody, which is why you prayed against it, is to lose your child. He said, when you lose your child, you can give birth to another one. Yes, let me tell you, to lose a child at 15 or 18 or 20, to raise another child, you need those same number of years. Are you what I'm saying? You need those same 20 years. It's not easy to be able to get that child to where the other one was when you lost the person. It's not easy. And that's how it is with ministry. So God knows if there are many people that God can raise. Yes. But He doesn't want to keep losing people that are here now. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. Because to raise, you know what it would take God to raise some people? To raise another Pastor Chris. I'm not saying it's impossible. I say it will take time. Because it took time before he became this Pastor Chris that we know. And God doesn't do things in a hurry. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It will take off a time for God to raise another you. With the small level you think you've attained the ministry, think of how long it took you to become like this. Are you following what I'm saying now? To become this committed, to become somebody that is serving, it takes God time. So the ones he has raised, he wants to preserve their lives. And he will preserve your life. You didn't hear me? I said he will preserve your life. Have your seat. Don't worry. Sit down. Sit down. He will preserve it. He will preserve it. So ministry is the purpose. It's the purpose. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. 2 Peter 1 verse 13. Let's see, maybe NLT. Peter was writing. He said, and it is only right that I should keep reminding you as long as I live. Next verse. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must live this earthly life. That I must soon live this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember this. He's saying, I now will soon die. But while I'm alive, I want to work hard. Now, you see how these people see life. They see life as a time to work for the Lord. So because God has told me I will soon be dying, while I'm here, the remaining time I have left, I'll use it to serve you well. So what are you doing with your life on earth? We're going to ask that question much more tomorrow. Because some of us are shouting long life. What are you doing with your life on earth? Tomorrow is going to look like a ministry class. Are you excited?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Because I want to start focusing on Saturdays on how you can serve the Lord with your life. He's keeping your life for a reason. Are you following me? He's keeping your life for a reason. You know what? I want to be alive. Why? What are you doing alive? Why did God keep Noah alive that long? He needed to build an ark. Do you know how long it took for that ark to be built? Over 100 years. He had to be alive to finish it. Are you what I'm saying now? He had to be alive to finish it. So when you see God preserve the life of people, there was a reason. Why did God preserve Moses' life like that? Come on, Moses. He had to stay. Because to even raise a Joshua that will follow will take time. So long life has a purpose. The purpose of long life is ministry. Which is why, now this comes in handy now, which is why we are talking of long, healthy life. Because long life on a sick bed is now useless. The only use it has is that the people that love you are still seeing you. They know that their father or their brother is still alive. I guess what I'm saying now. God promises love. See Moses, at that 120, imagine if he got to a time that Moses had to be carried up and down by the Israelites. His living was now useless. Are you following me? But till he died, he was active, serving the Lord, leading the people. So God wants to live long, but it's for ministry purposes. Are you following me? The third reason God wants us to live long, I'll give you four today. The third reason is because of your earthly obligations. Your earthly obligations. Things like raising your kids. Raising your kids. Because God actually gave you obligation. The problem with dying early is that when it happens, you leave a lot of responsibilities for people who are still alive. And the thing about dying early is that when you die early, you know, your death will alter the lives of many people. Are you aware? It will. If a father dies, it alters the life of the children forever. Their lives never remain the same. Especially if they're still very young. They have to grow up quickly. They have to learn. Some of them that when their mates at 8 years or 9 years are still jumping about, they bought Christmas clothes for me. They have to be on the street hawking pure water. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he alters their life. So because of your earthly obligations, God wants you to be alive. So you have to contend for long life for that reason. Are you following what I'm saying now? You have to contend for long life for that reason. So I don't see any reason why a believer wants to die early. I don't know why. Which is why I say Sunday is going to be a service of hope and miracles. And I'm going to bring a special teaching to address depression, depressing thoughts, and suicide. I was showing my wife something yesterday. A staggering statistics that once, as at early last year, once in every 43 seconds, someone dies of suicide. Are you following me? Once in every 43 seconds. As at 2024 last year. Why? We're going to address that. And if you are not seeing that demonic thought in this place, if I catch you, who do you want to leave all this work for? We will raise you from the dead. How do you leave us and run away? From dead. If your wife here, your husband, and your spouse tries to don't agree. Say in the name of Jesus. Poison. Come out from his system. Once he wakes up, he say, who do you want to leave the children for? Praise God. So there are earthly obligations. That's why the Bible tells us that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How did Paul put it? Is that Paul now? How did David put it? He said, a good man, you remember that place? Leaves an inheritance for his children. Give me that verse. That's Proverbs 13 verse 22. Proverbs 13 verse 22. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Proverbs 13, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Children's children. So he wants you to live to the point where your children are coming. And I knew a man that lived like that. His name was Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin gave lands to his grandchildren before he died. Like not to his children alone, no, to his grandchildren. He gave them properties before he died. You know, people normally say, brother, again, wasn't a rich man. He lived a very conservative. He's a liar. That man had money. Just that he is an example of a true man of God. No flamboyance. I get to the point. If not that people are very close to you, you wouldn't even know. No flamboyance. You know, I don't believe a man of God or a believer should be flamboyant with his wealth. There's no need. Showing off. And it's because of this show off. That's why many, the world is angry with the church. Because they think the church has money that they don't have. Let me say this to you. Not up to 5% of pastors on earth are rich. Now, I just gave you a... You don't need to doubt it. You want that? Go to your village. There are many... I get what I'm saying. Go down the street. There are many pastors who are suffering. But because the few that have it are flaunting the wealth. So the world thinks that the church has money. See, a pastor comes to rent house, they say, ah, pastor, when they chop church money now, they do the triple the rent. Because he's pastor. Well, that's by the way. Maybe one day we'll talk about this. But I'm just saying, brother, I can live that kind of conservative life. You would never know. Never know. Just live this life, doing ministry. But he was really blessed. He was really blessed. So he gave lands to his grandchildren even before he died. Lands and properties. But if you don't live long enough, you won't do this. Because you even need to know your grandchildren to give them land. But it's true now. If you die early, you don't even know them. Long life is mine. You've got to believe that. You have to contend for it. Reason number four. Why I believe God wants us to live long, why I believe I should want to live long, is because sometimes you need to stay long enough to see certain promises of God fulfilled. There are a few things that God will tell you that if you die quickly, you will not see them fulfilled in your lifetime. A perfect example is in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. A man, I want to say a young man, a man called Simeon. Right? And the Holy Ghost, God told him that he will not die until he sees the coming of the Messiah. Yes. So he had to stay long enough until Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, he now said, look at that. Bible said, behold, there was a man of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, right? Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And verse 26, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Amen. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said in verse 29, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. Is that this guy's died? Immediately he has received him, he said, oh, finally your servant can now die. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. There are certain things that if you hurry up to live, you will not walk into the directives of them. But I promise God has made you. I follow what I'm saying. We are all in this church. There are big things God is telling us now that he wants to do with us. Some of them will happen in 10 years' time, some 20 years' time. Some 30 years that you better stay long enough to see all of them. Are you following me? Some of them in 50 years' time. Better be here. Feel like I can die. Not you, this, not you. Feel like I can die. You know, I'll be in heaven looking at her and say, oh, wow. We'll be on earth. So you see why I said, if you die early, God, when you go to heaven, God is not angry that you died, you are in heaven. But you are the one that is losing. You've lost on many times. You've lost because the assignment that God gave you, you could not fulfill it. Because you left too early. You've lost because there are obligations you have to do here that you can no longer do. Because you left too early. You've lost because there are things the Lord has spoken to you that he will do. That you will no longer be alive to witness it being done. So I believe a believer and believers around the world should begin to trust God and contend for long, full lives. So that when, now go back to that verse, to the previous verse, so that you see again how, what we're saying is the, how a believer should die. Give me like NLT so you can get it. Immediately this man carried Jesus. He says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servants die in peace, as you have promised. So he was one that chose when the agreement he had with God arrived. Are you following me? So even if it had taken Jesus 100 more years to be born, this guy would have still been alive. That's the life of a Christian. Our lives are tied to divine purpose. And we do not live until that divine purpose is fulfilled. Are you guys what I'm talking about, friends? Our lives are tied to divine. We are not here just, we are not living like we are nothing. We are not just existing. There's a reason for our lives. So this guy held on and was praying until when he saw Jesus, I can now die. But I was, if he wasn't, how he knew he was going to die was not by checking his age. It was by checking what God told him. It was by checking his purpose, his assignment, the promise God made him. That's why I said, you live when you are done, not when you are old. Oh, are you following me, friends? You live when you are done, not when you are old. Not when you are old. And if you are done when you are 200, fine. Are you following me, friends? And let me even say something to you. The more, and something I've observed, the more you decide to prolong your stay here in the will of God, the more God will add responsibilities to you. God has so much to do. The harvest is plenteous. I mean, if you stay here till 100, God still has work for you. Are you following me? That's why some of us, we live to a point where God will tell us, okay, sit back now, mentor the younger generation. So you now see some people now, some of us will now hand over and just be giving counsels. I watched this lady few months before she died. Ruth Elton. You know her? That's daughter to Pa Elton. Full old age. And they were interviewing her. She was sharing testimonies of missions in different villages, different communities in Nigeria. You know, she did missions here. Her father was Pa S.G. Elton, who lived and served the Lord in this land. And when he died, the daughter refused to go back to the States and stayed back here, refused to get married. She lived a very simple life. You won't even know. In that interview, they were asking her, how do you feed? She said, God provides for her. She did ministry in almost all these south villages. She was there. She would go there, live for some time, get them saved, help many children in school and all of that. Very old. At that point, she was not providing counsel for people who are going to see her because people perceived she was going to die soon. So many ministers were going to see her to get counsel, to get impartations and all of that. Full life. So we stay because of our assignment. So let me ask your neighbor, do you have an assignment? Get an answer from the left, not run away. Do you even know that you have an assignment on it? Now, if you are confused about this, tomorrow I'm going to address it. I'm going to address it very seriously. Because we can't talk about living long without discussing this matter. If we talk about living long without giving enough time to talk about the assignments that we have, then we are living for nothing. Yes, because that's the key thing. Because think about it. Why does God want to keep you on earth? Are you following me? Is there assignments? So why do you see all these guys staying very long? They had assignments to do. They had assignments to do. They had assignments to do. Thank you, Lord. So how do you begin to reap of this long life? How do you begin to, what are the things that will help you live long? I'll give you some of them already. I'll give you about 7 or 8 of them today. Or whatever we stop. Is that okay? We have tomorrow. That's the blessing. Tomorrow I'll come here by what time? 10 a.m. will be here tomorrow. It will be a rich time. It will be what? Come here or come ready. Come ready. How do you live long? How do you assess long life? The first thing is what I'm discussing already. Know that it is possible. That's the first thing. You have to see, know, and believe that it is possible. And that it is God's will for you. Many people don't actually know that it is possible. That's why yesterday and today, and even the day before, I've taken time to show you that these things are possible. That's the first thing. Because how it works with God is, it doesn't matter what you have. If you do not know you have it, you cannot use it. And that's the truth. That's why knowledge is the first. Knowledge is the first. If you like, and it's just practical. If you have 10 million in the bank, and you don't know it is there, you should be living like a pauper. There are believers who are living life as though they are living like they are slaves. We don't know when we're going to die. Let's just be careful. Let's just be afraid. Let's just be this. No. You must live life knowing that God has given you this freedom to choose. Psalm 27, verse 12. I'll read 12 and 13. He said, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He said, I had fainted. Is this, I would have fainted. Give me like Amplified Classic. I'll read that. Do you have Amplified? That is Amplified. That is AMPC. That is AMP. Do you have it? Okay. Let's do AMPC, AMPC first, verse 12. This is AMPC. It's using AMP though. Verse 12. He said, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me. They breathe out cruelty and violence. He said, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord? So David is saying, even if I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord, they would have gotten to me. But why I know they will not get to me is because I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I read the Amplified version. He said, do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have come against me. They breathe out violence. Right now, see the next verse. I would have despaired had I not believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord. So what keeps you strong when there are threats of death around you is what you believe. Are you following what I'm saying now? He said, because I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, nothing is going to happen. Had I not believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? So the first thing is, you've got to know. You've got to believe. And it comes by knowing it and hearing it as you're hearing it now. And coming to a point where you know it beyond knowledge. Where you know it beyond head knowledge. Where you know it such that even when you are so sick and they say there is nothing that can be done, you know so much in your heart that nothing is going to happen to you. Yes. Look at what David is saying. He said there were threats around him. And I said, what would have become of me if not that I believe that I was seeking the goodness of the Lord? So his confidence is because he believes. He knows something. So we despair and we get frightened because we do not know what we are supposed to know. If you know, for instance, like Paul, that nothing can take your life, it doesn't matter whether the Jewish leaders beat you 3 times, whether they stone you, whether you stay a night at the sea, you will know nothing will happen to you. See, it starts with knowledge. Which is why this teaching, I was telling someone, it's been on my mind very heavily, and I think I've gotten approval to do that. This teaching is going to be a book. Yes, once you are done, we'll turn it to a book. But it's not just something you need to hear. These things, you don't need to hear them. You need to read them and read them until they seize your entire being. Because you have to know it beyond head knowledge. You have to know it. It has to seize your heart. You have to come to a point where you know that nothing can happen to me. You know, there is this charm that they do if an Igbo man, Odeshi. You know Odeshi? That charm, they will do it for you, you become fortified. If they shoot you, it will not enter. Amen. You know the thing about it? Even the negative kingdom, they work with the same principles that God establishes. They work with faith. If they run that in for you and you don't believe, if they shoot you, you will still die. Do you understand? Which is why if they want to do those kind of things for you, they take you through many processes. Sometimes they put you inside a coffin for 4 days. All of that is to make you feel that you have crossed the 7 mountains and 7 oceans. Say nothing, they happen. That's what I'm trying to get you to believe. Do you understand me? You now come out with faith. Because, come on, if you go to the native doctor's house and he just looks at you and touches your forehead and say, it's done. If they bring gun, you will still run. Because, is this how we done it? So they will now tell you, you will sleep here in the shrine. We will pour blood on you. You will eat tortoise, live tortoise. Now, by the time you are done doing all those things, you'll not be telling me, do you know what I've done? You are driving confidence from all the things they passed you through. Part of what they want to do is to believe that that thing will work. That if you believe God's word like that too, you have the same experience. Even better experience. I get what I'm saying now. Yes. That's why you guys know these stories. I've been threatened with charm. Not once, not twice. So I will deal with you. I say, you cannot. He said, I will deal with you. I say, let me tell you, I'm stronger than you. I told the person. I told the kid, I have more money than you. Financially, I'm richer. Physically, I will beat you up here. Spiritually, I will destroy you. Yes. Or any place you come. What makes people talk like that? And I wasn't talking empty talk. I was so sure. And I didn't have 1 second to pray about that. I tell you sincerely. I just know. He says, I better pray. Forget. Say, but prayer is the key. Yes. I just know. You've got to know. You know, he said, Pastor, you have to be praying. But let me tell you why you have to know this and I study it and it takes over your heart. There are the days that life will come threatening. You might not have time to go and pray and come back. I get the point. The day you will encounter a man, a witch that looks at you and says, in 3 minutes you are dead. You might not have time to go and pray and come back. We just look at him and say, ha! I just laugh. Some of that are from, is it Oko in Anambra State? If you ask questions, you know the story. Dr. Omar came to that after many years ago. I think it's okay. I hope I'm not missing the community. He came there and the native doctor told him that he was going to die. That by tomorrow that he will be dead. Because he's using money that would have been used to better the life of the community, to print and bail, and to be shared with helicopter all over town. That he will die by tomorrow. Dr. Omar just said, well, it's okay. It's just that by that same tomorrow, fire is going to burn your shrine and it will burn for 21 days. Real life story, go read about it. The next day, from nowhere, the shrine caught fire and burned for 21 whole days. Non-stop. Nobody can put it off. Yes. You have to know. They come and he came to your house and you saw white powder. He said, they've come for me. He said, I match it. He said, I'll touch you with the left hand. Because left hand used to destroy charm. Ah! Native doctor. You've got to know what is working inside of you. Say that. So have you touched charm before? Countless. Countless. Burnt shrines. Countless. He said, because you're a man of God. When I was doing that, and I wasn't even a man of God. It's even now that I'm a man of God, I don't even have time for those things again. And I was just a boy. I get to the point. Just a boy. The kind of people that inspired us growing up, they taught us to do very dangerous things. We had one man's story. The man would go, those days, they used to be very broke. So we would go to the river and perch around. When the people come for sacrifice, once they throw it into the river, he can swim. Once you throw, he's diving and collecting it.
Sacrifice. Yes.
I saw some dangerous guys are raised also. That's another mass meeting. I said, now, wow. They will drop a bundle of money as he's flying in. The gods have taken it. Somebody say, what will happen to him? He's a very big man now. That's what happened to him eventually. Nothing happened to him. He's a great man. Has wife, has children, has a thriving ministry, doing well in life. Nothing happened to him. You've got to know. December is coming now. You don't want to go to your village. Because those village people, believer in Christ, God life, village people. You've got to know. So that when those threats are coming, it doesn't move you in any way. And I'm not talking about being told, some say, me, I have strong guards. What did they do? It's not about strong guards. You don't have strong guards. Those people have power, they will destroy you. It's not strong hearts. It is confidence that comes from the knowledge of the word of God. It's not strong hearts. It's not for me. I don't used to form anything. I know what I know. I know what I know. Right? I know what I know. Instead of going for mission works as a very small boy. One village after another. One village. I've been threatened both in the dreams and physically by native doctors. I've encountered a girl that said she was the princess of a court that told me, you have 7 days to live and die. I laughed. I didn't pray. You've got to know. And it's not bragging. And if I give some people my care, they have the same story. It's not bragging. You have to know. Are you following me? You've got to know. And no matter what happens, you are not going to be taken out. So that when there's a riot in your area and you are running for safety, in the midst of the whole running, you know in your heart that you will survive this. I get to the point. I never doubted during 2020 whether I would see post-COVID. I knew I was going to see post-COVID. I have so much work to do. I never doubted it. I get to the point. Whether you're in your area and everybody's shooting, should I run for help? Yes, I'm coming to that shortly. Run for help, all of that. But in all of that, know that no how will you die from this. And the knowing is by listening. Look at the word. Let the word of God, let it dwell richly. Let these things you are sharing enter you. That's the one I'll be closing. Maybe tomorrow I'll still emphasize the need for you not to open your ear and your spirit to every kind of negative news of death and fear. They feed with all those things. That when you are inside a car and the car is somersaulting, you are afraid, your heart is shaking, but you know one thing, you will come out. Are you guys what I'm talking about? You know you will be out without any problem. We know what we know. And we know. David said, I would have been despaired if not that I know. And I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. See, it doesn't matter what has happened around you. What do you know? What have you come to see in God's word? And then you capture it. And then you hold it. You guys follow what I'm saying? What do you know? That's the first. The second thing is related to this first one. Is that you must know. How do you live long? You must know that the power over death is in your hands as a believer. And you must be willing to exercise it. You know, I've been saying this since we started. I want to say it again. The power of death, power over death, is in your hands as a believer. We just saw Philippians 1 verse 21, where Paul was negotiating when to die and when not to die. He said, I'm torn between two opinions. A part of me wants to go, which will be better for me. But the other part of me wants to stay because I have ministry to do. He said, knowing this, verse 25, is that I am convinced that I will keep living. So Paul chose not to die. Are you getting the point? He chose not to die. We saw it yesterday, John 10 verse 18. Jesus told them, no man taketh my life from me. I have power. Remember yesterday? To lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And that's my story. If God will come to that, you have to know that actually death is not what is not part of. Death is part of what God put under our authority. Both the death of others and our own death. Surrounded by death of others. Why do we think we have power to raise the dead? It's because death is under the authority of the believer. Are you guys feeling what I'm saying now? Jesus lived his life on earth, raising the dead. We're going to see that very shortly. Raising the dead. All of that to prove that death is not above the believer. So you see that thing I was mentioning earlier? In Mark 27 verse 50, we are told how Jesus died. They did a lot of things to him. But when he had cried again with a loud voice, King James said, he yielded up the ghost. Very important. Give me other translations. Let's see. Now, NLT said, he released his spirit. So, he was the one that said, okay, I release it. He released the spirit. They didn't beat him and beat him until he passed out. He released the spirit and died. Why? It was in his hands to release or to hold it back. I want this thing to enter you. Are you following me? That even if you have been diagnosed with stage 100 cancer, if you do not release your spirit, you're not going anywhere. You've got to know it. That's why they stoned Paul and thought he was dead. He refused to release his spirit. He stayed. They put John in a pot of burning oil. He refused to release his spirit. He stayed. Are you guys following me? They have Amplified Classic. Let's do the translation. Release his spirit. Amplified Classic. He gave up his spirit. Yes, he gave it up. Another one. Message said he breathed his last. Okay. Another one. He breathed his last. GNT. Another one. He yielded up his spirit. I like this one. He yielded up his spirit. Let me show you another translation. Another account of this. And that's John 19 verse 30. That one said he gave up the ghost. John 19 and verse 30. He gave up the ghost. He gave it up. And truthfully, that's how people describe death today. And that's how it's meant to be. He gave up. You give up the ghost. So how do people give up the ghost? What do you mean by that? I'll show you a practical example. Acts 7 verse 59. Practical example. Acts 7 59. And this was Stephen. They gathered to stone this young man. And he began to preach. He preached throughout Acts 7. And they began to say, he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's what he said in the previous verse. That he's seen Jesus at the Father's right hand. So they were angry. Previous verse. He said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man on the Father's right hand. They were angry. Now, imagine you are stoning someone. And the person is saying, I see the heavens open. So they kept stoning him until verse 59, which we are going to. He now said, give me verse 59. They stoned Stephen calling upon, and they stoned Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. Then in verse 60, he died. So he was one that said, Lord, I'm now ready. And he now said, do not lay this charge, this thing to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Are you following what I'm saying? So how did Stephen release his spirit? He spoke in verse 59. He said, Father, receive me. Give me another translation. Like NLT. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You know what he's saying? I'm now ready to go. Receive my spirit. Amen. So you must know that power over death is with you. Such that death is not going to just come and sweep you off your feet. I don't even know how I died. Have I died? That's how some people die. You. Let me say this to you. If you are in a life, if you ever get into a life-threatening situation, remember what I'm sharing with you today. If you refuse to release your spirit, you will stay. I'm just telling you what I've observed. Let me tell you, this is a big digression. This is why some doctors know what I'm saying. That's why I've interacted with a doctor who they were treating someone, and the person was responding small, small, but then was now to the guy now recommended for the family, take this guy home. Let's be coming to treat him at home. And they said, why? He said, because the more he stays here and see people die every day, it will begin to make him to lose hope. And once he begins to lose hope, he will soon die too. I get what I'm saying? It will bring him to the point that he will give up. And say, everybody's dying. Now. My own is almost there. But let me just go. So some doctors will tell you, at this point, if it is all these cancer issues, they say chemotherapy, they say take the person home. Let the attend or bring the person from time to time. Because once this, they're in that environment, they're seeing Mr. A die, Mr. B die, they say gradually they're accepting death. I feel what I'm talking about. That the more they're seeing it, the more they're opening their hearts to it. Well, okay. She last. Now die. Do you get that opening that? Then gradually they accept it. So they release themselves. Amen. Are you learning something? So, you must know that you are in charge of this life. God gave it to you. God gave it to you. So if you, anytime you're in a life-threatening situation and you still have assignment you want to do on it. You know, even in the Old Testament, Hezekiah knew this. They came and told him that he was going to die. Prepare your house, you will die. He told God he doesn't want to die. God told Isaiah to go back and tell him that he has 15 more years. I thought they would have said, you have one more year. 15 more years. That's like from 2025 to 2040. Are you following me? Yes. So in other words, they told him that the time to die has come. He refused. That's powerful. He went to God in prayer. I said, Lord, no. I don't want this. I don't want this. I still want to be here. I still have things I want to do. Please, let me stay. And God said, fine. Now, if man did not have that power to negotiate, God would have answered him. Are you guys following me this evening now? God said, fine, you can stay. So that idea that once your time reach, nothing will happen is not true. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It's not true. You've got to know. What else am I going to counsel you to do today? Live in obedience to the word of God. You know, I said this 2 days ago. We can't talk about long life and all of that without teaching you obedience to God's word. Now, the reason is this. As I've shown you earlier, you see, when people begin to walk out of God's order, especially walking out of love, they expose themselves to a zone where the devil can easily get them. That's why you find out, hear what I'm going to say, many instructions in the Bible are tied to long life. I wish I would have time to explain that in today. Many instructions. Because generally speaking, if you remember, if you followed us from day one, every disobedience to God's instruction is walking out of love. Do you remember that? And I've taught you that walking out of love is getting yourself in a place where the devil can easily afflict you. So I'll show you some pictures. Deuteronomy 4 verse 40. I've shown this one before. Deuteronomy 4 verse 40. Let's just rush. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's read together, everybody. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So God is saying, you have power to prolong your days on earth. And he's saying, keep these statutes. So when you walk in the spirit, or should I say, when you walk in love, remember that? You make it easy to be in the zone where the devil will not be able to assess and mess your life up. And like I said that day, even if he does, you're also in the right frame of mind to tell him off. Are you following me, friends? So many instructions. I can give you one or two of those instructions. The Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord will prolong your life. Proverbs 10:27. When you fear the Lord, that is, you walk on his orders. He said, the fear of the Lord prolonged days. Yes. Fear of the Lord, what does that mean? Walking in the Spirit, walking in love, walking according to his status. It can prolong your days. Another example is Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on earth. So, there is something about honor and long life. And something about rebellion. So, let me teach you this. Every fatherhood structure in your life, don't play with it. You see, your biological father, that fatherhood structure, don't play with it. Spiritual fatherhood structure, don't play with it. I wish I have time more. There are many in the Old Testament that died immaturely, untimely. Do you know why? They went against those kind of structures. You see that God will kill them. No, God doesn't kill nobody. You know God doesn't kill anybody. But the devil wants to kill you. So once you get yourself in that zone, he says, whoa, yes, finally. Another reason is because sometimes those fatherhood structures exist to protect you. Do you understand? Now, by the time you take them out of the way, that's why I was teaching on that first day. There was a question somebody asked me. If you are in a place where your father, because she was asking that the father complains that she prays too much, so that she should stop praying. And she was asking me, should she stop? And my counsel is this. I believe the lady should be following. My counsel is this. Why is it that you really pray too much? You pray in tongues too much. That's what you said. If that's the case, make sure it's not because you are disturbing the whole house. Do you understand? Not when people want to sleep, you wake up by one and start shouting, Yada Baraka Tabanoga. Because you have to find out the reason. Oh. So, but if it is just that, then you have to stop. At least stop praying. Stop disturbing the house. That's what I'm saying. Choose a better time. Or even if you're going to pray at that time, you can pray in your room under your breath. So if I pray at that, I will sleep. I'll tell you how you will not sleep. Stand up. Stand up. You will not sleep. Don't just stand up. You say, but I stand up and sleep. Stand up and walk around. You will not sleep. Is that your case is critical? Is your case critical? So if that's the case, but if that's not the case, it's just your father also wanted to pray. The Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord. So what should you do? Never dishonor your parents. Never be a rebellious person. But don't stop praying. You obey them in the Lord. So even when you are trying to communicate to them that you have to pray, you must do it politely. I get the point. Do it politely. Do it with every form of fear and reverence. But communicate it. If you have to communicate it, don't ever get about where you get angry and say, whether I like it or not, I will pray to my God in this house. They will throw you out too. But never be drawn to a point where you begin to challenge your father, your mother. And say, let me tell you, whatever you think, I know who I am in Christ. You don't know. And that's why I'm saying, even in the area of marriage, you're getting married, and your mom or your dad says no. There's a way to negotiate. There's a way to dialogue. There's a way to talk. Don't go and say, you say, I will not marry him. I will show you. There are a couple of people in this church I'm looking at even now that I know even in my head that their parents said no when they wanted to get married. Everything is not fight. I get to the point. Let me tell you, I'm a grown man. I know what I want. Sometimes you don't. And apart from the consequence of this, what it could lead you to, right? think of the fact that if you act like that, you just let the devil play. You know, Satan likes in your head that is strife. You see, strife, that's his zone. Strife, commotion, hate, he just comes in. He'll be inducing you. Stand on your ground. Stand on your right. There's a way to talk. Oh. Say, what do I do? I've thought on that many times. Take it to prayer. Then talk. Dialogue. What do I mean by dialogue? Hear them out. Mom, you don't want to marry him. Yes. Why? You now tell. Sometimes they will make sense. Big sense. You just don't know. I get the point. It's a different case that they say, now if they now say, you will not marry him. I don't like his village. You now know, okay. We are dealing with a case of travel. And I say, mommy, no. But if my mother said, I don't like her village, you know what I would have asked first? What don't you like about the village? Because sometimes they also know what they're saying. Now, no village should be labeled bad. But when your mother or your father says, I don't like the girl's village or the guy's village, find out why. When they tell you, they used to behave like this. Now, you go to the life of the person you are dating or you are on courtship with and sincerely check, is she like that? I get to the point. What does they know what I'm saying? No village should be labeled. But you know, there are chances that because people have been trained in a certain environment, they think in a certain way. So you are trying to check, does that person think that way? Does that person act that way? So you can ask a woman, no, I understand what you're saying, but she's not like that. Why don't you just get to meet her? And people talk. You're dialoguing. So what if you're my mommy? You don't know my mommy. Sincerely, I don't. Now, what I'm going to recommend for you again, if your mommy says no, bring mediation. Bring somebody. Somebody you know your mother respects. Go and get her pastor. Go and get her elder brother. Are you good what I'm talking about? Go and get that. My point is there are many things you can do. That I'm throwing punch. That I'm going to show you today. That if you don't mean to marry him, we are going to elope. it's not Fimo. I let me even counsel you as a young lady. Never elope with a man. No matter how love is shocking you. Because eloping with a man, you're already telling that man that you don't have anybody. The guy knows that anything he does to you, you have nowhere to run to. Because you left everyone you had and you ran away with him. So he's your all in all now. Never elope. And also one that tried to elope. Now, she tried, she didn't even succeed in the elope. She tried to elope, so she was already isolated from her family. So they were planning on their papers. The things, the way they beat her, the way the man beat her between that time before the papers came out, she came back. She what's the opposite of elope? I'm telling you, she came back and she was not telling us. See, that man wanted to give me. Glory to God. And why will even want a lady to elope with you? You are so important. A lady should leave all the relationships that have been in her life since she was born and run away with you. Because you are Alpha and Omega. Fight rebellion. Anything that will make you want to rebel. Don't be like that. Are you following me, friends? Even against spiritual authority, don't give in to it. Said, honor your father and mother. It preserves your life. It keeps you in a zone where the devil will not come and mess with you. So whenever you are tempted to rebel, it's actually a temptation to expose your life. Any kind of rebellion. Listen to me. Things won't always be fine at home. But don't be a rebellious person. Wife, things won't always be fine at home. Don't rebel against your husband. Don't do that. Don't do that. Are you following me? Don't rebel against your pastor, against authority in the church. Don't do that. You expose yourself and your loved ones. You know, I was watching, I came across one clip. I don't even know the name of the prophet. I don't know. I still don't know as I'm talking to you. I don't even know if I like him. But he gave a very interesting prophet. He gave a lady called this woman, and the woman was there. He said, you came here because you have a child abroad that, you know, I think they arrested the child or something. He said, yes, yes, yes. She has 8 children, the only one that was doing well. So she came for the prayers to, you know, and the man of God looked at her and said, well, I'll give you some, should I talk openly? She said, yes. He said, let me make it very clear to you. Gave her, the man is a prophet. Gave her her name, the name of the child and all that, and said your answer is not in this church. Your answer is in, he mentioned the name of the Redeemed Church, the branch that the lady came out from. She was a woman leader in the church that gathers of women, fought the pastor, scattered everything. Do you understand? And now came. So the prophet was angry. He said, you have to go back. Of course, what the woman will think, because that's what the prophet was saying, which is actually wrong, is that God is actually deliberately dealing with that child because of what she did. That's not what happened. But I tell you what happened. But with that thing that she did, the devil just gained free access into her family and began to mess things up. Are you what I'm saying? Began to mess her life up. And this is why you must just, let me tell you, if you don't, there are better ways to handle things. Like you're in a church now and you feel, I don't like this church again. Some of you that came here, I've had to send some of you back to where you're coming from. For you to make peace and come out. If you don't like that church again, I'll never go there again. Evil pastor. You know the way you came into that church? You came in on one Sunday, just casually, live quietly like that. The same way you came in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Anything that will cause you to become rebellious, I'm going to show you, wait. Just go. So what she has to do, if the man of God spoke to a point that told her, I know you will not do it. And she said, I will do it. He said, you're a very strong woman. I know you will not do it. She said, I will do it. So go and apologize. And he was not saying that if I was that your pastor, I'll make you apologize publicly. And the story the man was telling, why the woman pulled that stunt, was because in the church and the branch where she was a leader. They brought another woman joined the church. After some time, they made that woman leader, so she got angry. Are you following me? Some things are not supposed to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I'm trying to show you, maybe this way we're going to close, because there's just a lot to say. There are a lot of things, instructions in the Bible connected to long life. When you live according to the dictates of the word of God, as God will lead you part time by his spirit, you'll preserve your life. So I've just shown you honor. There are other things we can touch. The Bible talks about, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 29, talks about discerning the Lord's body. He said that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Now you're going to get the flow of this. People normally think this about taking communion, and then people say if you're coming to take communion and you are unholy. Have you heard of those kind of things? Like if you take it, you will fall and die. That's not what he's saying. Right? Because even people that take communion admit that communion is the body and blood of Jesus. Right? And I think the blood of Jesus should cleanse you if you are sinful and not kill you. So that's something that he's talking about here. Are you following? For he that drinketh, eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're going to come back to that phrase very shortly. Not discerning the Lord's body. So what was the case in this church? They were coming for feasts in the church. And when they are coming, some people will, because it's just like we're having love feasts. So we come with their own food and their own drink and eat, and others will not eat. So do we have time for this? Let's go to verse 23. Let me just show you the full flow so that you understand what it means. Okay, 23 is, go to verse 18, just 17, 18, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give me like NLT. Let's read together, everybody. When you meet as a church, and to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you have God's, okay, so that you have God's approval. Okay, you who have God's approval will be recognized, okay? When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you, hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. He said, what? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? So some people come with their, everybody's going to come with food. The idea is that I bring my own, you bring your own, we eat together. But then these other people, they have cliques. When they come, before others come, they finish eating their own. He said, what am I supposed to say? He said, do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. Do you get the flow now? So jump to where I mentioned verse 29. Hallelujah. Yes, verse 29. Go to King James. He said they were eating it, not discerning the Lord's body. So that's what it means. Let's continue. He said, for this cause, for which cause? Because they do not discern the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So you are seeing that whatever he's talking about here is serious. Because Paul, like Apostle Paul, is telling them that this is a reason why many people even fall sick, even why people die. Serious matter. Are you following me? So let's get the full flow. Next verse. For if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry. What is it? You wait for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you will not come together unto condemnation. So you notice he's saying, when you come, discern the Lord's body. What does he mean? You should consider one another. Don't come with your own food and finish before others come. So he's talking about love work here. Are you getting the point? Say, because there is no love among you, say some fall sick. People even die because of that. You know, one of the things this tells me is that when I come around church, I should be careful how I interact with God's people. Walking in love will preserve your life in many ways. So you say, discern the Lord's body. Consider the Lord's body. There are a lot of instructions I can give you in the Bible. But one thing I'm going to say is, if you pattern your life and follow the dictates of the word and the leading of the spirit in your heart, you will preserve your life a great deal. But that's God's plan for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you blessed? Let me say one more thing. One more point. I said I'll give you 7 or 8. Let's see one more before we go. And why I'm going to talk about it, because I've discussed it earlier, so I will not dwell on it. I've handled it yesterday. I'll be 2 days ago, self. Another thing that will help you stay, live a long life, is to understand the operations of divine healing. I'll close with that today. You know, I've taught this before, right? 2 days ago. Understand the operations of divine healing. Because everybody on earth will fall sick at one time or the other. For different. Okay, let me not put it that way. Everybody will at least be attacked by a sickness. Because we live in a fallen world. So a believer that does not understand how divine healing functions has subscribed to dying early. So understand the operation of divine healing. You find a sickness in your body, rise against it and fight it. Fight it. Remember what I said the other day? Attack sicknesses from the point of symptoms. From the point of symptoms. But I told you, death does not operate on its own. It has messengers. Remember I told you that? People don't just die. Either sickness kills them, or accidents, or something must kill someone. So sickness is one of those major things that take people out. Fight it. Fight it. Fight it. Understand, that's why one of the things you must do as you close today, I just want to console you. One of the things you must do from time to time, refresh yourself on the teaching of divine healing. That's why there is no way a year can pass in this church and I will not do at least one teaching on healing. It's not possible. It's one of the duties of a pastor to protect his people. There are specific teachings that he must repeat every year. Are you following what I'm saying? I must talk about it in one way or the other. In a special meeting, so anyway, I must have time to talk about healing. Last year we did Rafa. But last year we did School of Healing and Answers. Remember? I gave it how many weeks to teach back to back on healing and answers. You have to learn those things. You have to learn those things. Because at different times, your health might come under attack. And you don't want to act and live like you're helpless. Because you're not supposed to be. Learn how divine health works. Learn how it works. So if you have a pain in your back, you don't begin to cry like you are hopeless. Everybody will need to release faith for healing at different points. Everybody. Paul told us that there were nights he shivered in the cold without clothes to keep him safe. So why didn't he catch pneumonia and die? He must have fought it. Are you following me? Let me tell you something before we go. Many things will come to take your life. But you've got to say no. Are you following what I'm saying? You've got to say no. And listen, because long life is God's will, every time you begin to say no and to contend, God joins you in that contention. Because you are in His will. I get to the point. He joins you. Because you are actually doing what He has been expecting you to do all the while. Is someone following me, friends? Many things will come to take your life. But you've got to say no and insist and contend. And contend. Give me 1 Corinthians 15:32. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give me like NLT. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, what value was there in fighting wild beasts? Those people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead. So Paul is telling us part of the things he saw in Ephesus. He fought wild beasts. Some people say it's literal wild beasts. Some other people, that's why I say give me NLT. Some people say it's not wild beasts, it is people. But Paul fought things. Whether beasts or human beings. You know why I put this up? Just to back up the statement I made. That many things will actually come to take your life. That's what I'm trying to make. Many things. Give Amplified Classic. Many things. He said, what do I gain merely from the human point of view? I fought the wild beasts at Ephesus. So he fought beasts. Either real beasts or men that are beasts. But he fought them. Many things will come after your life. One of those things will be sickness. Learn how healing works. Whenever you find yourself sick, get your healing by faith. Fight sickness. Get it by faith. It is God's will for you. Because look at the thing about it. If you are sick and you don't die, but you are sick, you are still not doing what God wants. God wants you to be alive, to be able to do ministry. Now if you are sick, you no longer do the ministry. So your long life is now useless. I guess what I'm saying now. So fight sickness. If you're sick in your body now, fight it. So how? I thought you were done 2 days ago. Get our teachings. Get it on Rafa. Fight it. Learn how to fight sickness. I have a lot of books in my library on healing. And I believe that one of these is God will lead me to do a book on healing too. Yes. Because you have to learn how to stand your ground and resist sickness with everything in you. With everything in you. The teaching of long life and fighting sicknesses. When I got saved newly 20 years ago, 25 years ago, those days, you don't find these teachings among young people. Because young people don't normally fall sick like that. That time, I'm telling you. There are some sicknesses that you don't find among young people those days. Right? You can hardly find a young person say, I have diabetes. Or I saw a 13 or 14 year old girl say she had hypertension. High blood pressure. Can that happen? Yes. But you know, I mean, 20 years ago, for me, I've never seen. Hypertension, like high blood pressure, is old people's sickness. But now it's important. Because the human nature keeps deteriorating. I feel what I'm saying. It keeps deteriorating. So high blood pressure is a thing now. When we were young, I used to hear, once you get to 50 or 60, you can't be doing checkup on your body. Now they tell you, once you get to 30, 35, do constant checkup. The human nature just keeps deteriorating. So I believe that the teachings of divine healing should be emphasized more even now. Even now. And there are some things I don't want to say. Or maybe I will say them, but I will not explain them. If you don't understand, then leave it. There are human forces on earth who also want to make sure that life is shortened on it. Are you aware? No, you didn't get what I'm saying. There are human beings that you know who have programs that they've come up with to ensure that life is shortened. They feel that people are living too long. They want to shorten. Real life thing. Like, I can give you names. You know them. There's a man of God I can mention for that. If you listen to the mention these names, I don't do that. I don't want to do that yet. Say, why I don't want to do that? It's not in my place yet. It's in their place. But those things are there. So of these drugs you see, all of these things, program, because Satan has really entered people. So you've got to fight for your life, fight for your health. Learn divine healing by God's word. Learn it. Think of all the things that we were talking about the other day. How that you can get into the store to buy medication, you buy fake, harmful to your body. Learn divine healing now. Learn how to stand on God's word and contend. I'll say more about that tomorrow. If I talk about the ministry things I want to talk about. Because I'll finish this thing tomorrow. Is that okay? Learn how to stand on God's word and contend. You know, one of the things my spiritual mom was telling us, this last meeting we went to, was someone opening up to her, telling her when she worked at one supermarket, a big supermarket in this country, that what they do when things expire, even baby food, they will clean the expiry date and rewrite it. Baby food. The world is just getting more cruel. I get what I'm saying. More cruel. So it's not even a matter of I'll buy from good supermarkets. So what is now our hope? Christ is. That's why you have a child. Speak life to the child often and on. Speak life. And tomorrow I will talk about, partly I will address the issue of being led by the Spirit. Because that's another thing that preserves life. We'll look at that tomorrow. If you don't do divine leading, you will not live very long. Are you following me, friends? So different things will happen. You go buy things in the market. They say, oh, you bought this food poisoning, this one. But thank God for divine healing. You know, we're never without help. I tell you the truth, I'm not afraid of sickness. Yes. I have healing. It's working inside of me. I'm not just a dispenser of healing. Healing is working in me. Yes. You must learn how healing works. Learn the workings of divine healing. That if at any time that devil comes knocking at your door, you know what to tell him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If he comes knocking at your door, you know how to address him. You know how to stop him. And I just sense that to say now, if you are here under the sound of my voice and there's any sickness in your body. Because you know one thing about this, we can't talk about the healing anointing and it's not present. Like it's present as I'm talking now. It's teared up as I'm talking now. So if you're sick in your body, healing is waiting for you right there. It's one of the things God will do to keep you long and going. I mentioned blood pressure. Your blood pressure has been up and down and unstable for some time. It's stabilizing now. We carry the life of God in us. And it works out divine healing. And because we know that God wants us to live long and all of that, when we find sickness, we can dare to reach out to the deepest of the life of God in us and attack that sickness. I'm seeing, I don't know whether online or on ground, but I'm seeing someone's leg that has some, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm seeing different marks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You had some sores on your leg at a time. Now, they're healing now, quite all right. Right? But then, you still have some black stuffs all over. Then, there are still some wounds I see. The Lord said, I'm restoring you fully. I'm restoring you fully, says the Lord. I'm restoring you fully. I'm restoring you fully. Just pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. See the case of pile being cut off by the power of God. By the power of God. The healing anointing is here. If you are sick in your body, reach out and take now. Reach out and take. Any sickness, any infirmity in your body, reach out and take it. Pray. You can stand up. Don't pray. Pray with your heart. Don't pray under your breath. Pray. Ooh, yes. Shande Kronde Vasaya. Pray. Yes, pray. Oh, yes. Cause healing rain is falling now. I'm not afraid. Healing rain is falling now. Yes, I'm not afraid. Healing rain is falling now. I'm going to declare that for like 5 times in this place. And as I say that, healing is walking, it's steering. It's been steering in this place.
I'm not afraid. Healing rain is falling now.
take your healing now all over this place. I'm not going to pray for you. You are going to declare and take hold of your healing. I've taught you this. Ask that sickness to get out of your body. Pray. Ask that sickness to get out of your body. Command that pain to be gone. Command those rashes to disappear. Pray. Command that. Some of you feel this hotness in your head. That's how I saw it. It's like your brain wants to explode. That's how you can explain it. That's how you can explain it. Ask that stuff to stop. To stop immediately. Ask that stuff to stop. Command it to stop. Whatever it means, it's coming to an end. Pray. Use your tongue. Use your tongue. Use your tongue. And take your healing. Use your tongue. Take your healing. Use your tongue. Take your healing. Every kind of insanity is disappearing in this place. We rebuke that kind of insanity. Out of this place. Out of these bodies. Out of these minds. Out of these minds. That heart-related issue is disappearing now. Address that stuff out of your system. That fibroid is leaving your system right now. Those lumps are disappearing. Those growths are disappearing. Come on. Take hold. Lay hold. Lay hold of all that God has made available for you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Healing rain. As you're singing this song, that rain is falling where you are. You can take it now. Come on.
I'm not afraid.
The spirit of fear has been cast out of this place.
Afraid.
And healing is coming your way.
Kidneys
are being fixed. Your teeth is being repaired.
I'm not afraid.
Those holes on your tooth have been sealed up. Someone that has something like a boil in a very unlikely place. Yes, I have a boil. I'll just tell you what I see in the spirit. I see someone like you have a boil in between your anus. That thing is drying up. I don't know what it means, but it's drying up already. Deaf ears have been stopped. Thank you, Lord. Dumb tongues are loosened. Blind eyes. Eye-related issues are being corrected. Now it's time to take your healing. So how do you take your healing? Just begin to do with your body what you couldn't do with it before, because healing has come. Begin to check for the healing now with your body. If you couldn't read with your eye, begin to check. You just spoke over your health. Right now, healing has come. And as you're checking it and you're finding out that healing has taken place, you can start rejoicing. So check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check for the pain that was there before you started praying. It's no more there. Someone, when you look at the light for long, you begin to shed tears. That thing has just stopped. That thing has just disappeared. So recently you find out when you pick your phone to even look at the screen of your phone, it's very difficult. That thing has just ended. Check it now. Check it. Have you checked yourself? Check yourself, check yourself, check yourself all over this place. Whatever, you had a pain in your body, you had anything in your body, check. I know some of you need to go for tests, but check now. But I have to check now. Have you checked yourself? Have you checked yourself? Yes, yes, yes. I'm giving you time. Check your teeth, check your tongue, check your muscles, check your bones. God has healed you. God has healed you. I say, God has healed you. I say, God has healed you. If you couldn't bend, just bend. God has healed you now. Have you checked yourself? Now, if you find out that you are healed now by the power of God, let me see your hands up. Just wave your hands. If you find out you've just been healed by the power of God, just wave your hands. Yeah, okay, I'm seeing your hand there. Yes. Raise your wave your hands. Yes. Another person. Check yourself. Maybe some need to go for tests. Wave your hand. Check your body. All over this place. Online too. Across all the centers. It's happening. If it's what you can check here, check it now. Healing has come. Healing has come. And it has come to stay. Have you checked yourself some more? Now, raise your hands one more time. If you're here, you find out you've just been healed. Yes. Okay, there are more hands now. Hallelujah. Say, healing power is working in me. Shout it now. Shout it now. Let me tell you what you've got to do. If you know you have to do a test, go do the test. Are you following me? Go run the test. So I'm afraid, what if he comes back what it used to be for God and do the test? You will come back with a testimony. Your next doctor's appointment will be different. Positively different. How many of you believe that? Positively different. And we will rejoice with you. In Jesus' name. Are you blessed today? So we say, I have the life of God in me. Say, it is God's will to give me a long life. And I'm going to have it. If it is not God's will, it's not good enough for me. Say, I have an assignment on the earth. And I will live my life a long, full life. Fulfilling God's assignment for my life and being a blessing to many. Say, this is my destiny and I will live to fulfill it. Shout aloud, amen, somebody.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.